Good evening. Once again, this is the class on Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. I'm so thankful, as always, to be here to share with you the uncompromising and the unadulterated Word of God under the apostolic leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who started this school of ministry by divine appointment. I'm thankful for all of you students who've taken time to commit yourselves to learn more about apostolic government and apostolic ministry as you're being developed into an apostolic believer. Once again, the purpose of the apostolic is to create or to establish what? A heaven to earth government. A heaven to earth government structure. You know, your life is not nothing if you don't have structure. You listening? It is imperative that we continue to rehearse these things over and over until we switch from what? Religion to government. You listening? The church is full of religion and tradition. That's a wrap. But we got to go from religion and tradition to the government of God, according to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? Government shall be what? Upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible says, of the increase of his government and what? Peace, there shall be no end. So the purpose of the apostolic is to create a heaven to earth government structure based upon apostolic directions from the head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. We are the body. Now it goes on to say, go ahead, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be opened. And then God cannot accomplish this task without the ministry gift of an apostle. You listening? The purpose of the apostolic, once again, is to develop, watch this, apostolic apostles. I know you never heard it. I said apostolic apostles. What good is it to be an apostle and you don't understand the apostolic? Are you listening? What does that mean? That means that matured apostles can train others who are entering into apostleship. Are you listening? You don't come into no ministry fully developed. One thing I love about our apostle is he continues to pursue God and grow, because he cannot impart unto us that which he have not received. Are you listening? He's been an apostle for many years, but God spoke to him and say, I have called you to be an apostle. And immediately he began, watch this now, to learn from other apostles, which means the apostolic grace that was on their lives can be mixed with the anointing that's upon his life. Then all of us who are up under his apostolic grace can grow and benefit. Are you listening? So God uses the apostle to develop apostolic apostles, apostolic prophets, apostolic evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, why is that important? Because the grace of the apostle must fall on all of the others so that we are flowing together as one man. You listening? And God is the one who set the apostle first. You listening? In time, rank, and order. So an apostle does what? He structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, and all of those who are properly connected can enter in and what? So if you don't enter in by the gift that God gave, then you will not benefit. See, nothing about apostolic government and structure requires us to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. Y'all got that? Okay, don't sit up here and be dyslexic. You listening? The only way to have the government of God in our lives is to follow the pattern that was established by the head of the church, who took 12 men who he ordained to be what? Apostles. Are you listening? And he sent them forward two by two to train and to teach and to equip apostolic believers. In other words, no one can believe on him except they receive who he sent. Are you listening? So that is how the Lord Jesus Christ built his church, with the first ministry gift of apostles, then secondarily prophets. So the scriptures teach that the whole church is built upon the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. The only way that the other gifts, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher can connect properly to an apostle is they must, number one, respect his calling and respect his ministry, the gift that he is, number one, to the body of Christ, then to them. Are you listening? When we function in this type of respect, then we come into the unity of the faith so that we could all grow up and mature. Are you listening? Now, we have been teaching in the previous classes. We started off with the final stage of revival. But as I've shared with you, since revival is based upon the spirit of what? Continuance, or the principle of continuance, I believe that this cycle just spins. Are you listening? As individuals what? Are grown and develop, and they end up being that revivalist that I call a spiritual father, which is indeed the ministry gift of the apostle. Are you listening? Okay, we're on the times of what? Revealing. So we're going to pick up with point four, and we're going to quickly go through those and pick up where we left off on our last session. Okay? Understanding the times of revealing. Number one, the times of revealing is the time of the manifestation of the sons of God. In the sons of God, it's the time for the manifestation of the Son of God in the sons and the daughters of God. Number two, the times of revealing is also a time of seeing the fullness of who we are in Christ. Number three, the times of revealing will also bring the ministry of Christ to, notice that phrase, to full maturity. Number four, the times of revealing is also a time of fulfillment of the time of the Gentiles. All right, now we going on to point number six. The battle of Armageddon, beginning with the battle where Gog and Magog will first invade Israel. The second coming of Christ is to occur during this time, of the time where Israel is surrounded by all nations. The Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself as the Redeemer of King Israel. These seven issues, they are heavily pounding the hearts of the Jews, who are becoming more who are becoming more conscious of their eternal destiny. The preparation of the Jews also signals the completion of God's purpose. Notice this phrase, in the church for who? And prepares the church and prepares the church to be taken out of this world and be caught up to him in the heavens. Number five, the times of revealing are going to be times of acceleration of God's work on the earth. A quickening spirit will be released upon the church. I like to say is being released, because I believe everything God doing is in the now. Go ahead.
And in everything she does.
And in everything that the church is doing. The number of churches that are springing forth in supernatural power. They are rising quickly across the nation. The maturing of the maturity process of the saints is being speeded up many fold. The conversion rate of new Christians
is very high.
And many will be brought into the kingdom. The impact of this revival upon city after city is a reality. Cities and villages are being shaken by the supernatural power that is being released through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 8:8. Acts 8:8. And there was great joy in that city. Now you have to qualify that statement. The Bible says Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Are you listening? And in preaching Christ, many signs, wonders, and miracles were performed amongst the people. Are you listening? You know, tremendous healings, tremendous deliverances. And that's why the people were what? Full of joy. Because they saw what? God's supernatural power in demonstration and in manifestation. You see, when the church gets the revelation that it's God that's doing the work, then people are going to glorify God and not man. Go ahead.
Lives will change dramatically.
Young believers are going to mature quickly.
Into fruitful ministry.
Number six,
the times of revealing
will speed up the last three stages.
And revival is exploding
upon us.
The times of restoration,
the times of reformation,
and the times of the revivalists
is climaxing in these last years before the second coming of Christ.
When
Christ is fully made manifest in the saints,
the process of revival
becomes what? Unstoppable. Becomes what? Unstoppable. So the church cannot be stopped. The church cannot be stopped. A church that is founded upon revelation knowledge, understanding that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's the reality. Peter wasn't the only one that was supposed to get that revelation. And you and I do not get it by reading the Bible. That revelation can only come to us and be imparted to us. You listening? By the impartation of revelation from the Holy Ghost. That can only come through, here it goes, the process of meditation. See, for too long, we quote scriptures and think we know them. You don't know, you know of the scripture. I don't want nobody saying amen. You know of the scripture, but this is what the scripture needs to know us. Because when the scripture knows us, then we can know the scripture, then manifestation and demonstration occurs. All right, go ahead, daughter. When Christ is made manifest, he will destroy every work of the evil one. Every satanic work of sin and sickness will be challenged by the rising church. Dramatic healings and deliverances will break forth upon us. When Christ is made manifest, he will destroy the influence and power of sin in lives of his church. Go ahead. Every influence and temptation of sin will be brought under the subjection of the saints. Dramatic victories and transformed lives will emerge across the nation. See, if you're not in the spirit, you won't understand that. Because you see, sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Okay, so if sin get conquered, what happens to death? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. We're on chapter number 13 now, which is stage 3, which is times of refreshing. Go ahead. The third stage of the end time revival is called the times of refreshing. The times of revelation is the early rain that comes up on the soil to soften the ground for plowing. Now understand, as you're hearing this, it's talking about you and your soul. Are you listening? I say it's talking about you and your soul. The soil that received this word of God is the soul of man. The word of God is for the soul. You listening? Our spirit have already been saved. But the Bible says, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the what? Perfect will of God. In James it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, I believe that's James 1:18, which is able to save our what? Souls. So the purpose of the sown word is to deal with the soul of man. Are you listening? Only through the word of God can the soul be, we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind, according to Ephesians 4:23. Go ahead, daughter. The times of repentance is the breaking up of fallow ground that has been lying idle in order that the full potential of the ground might be brought forth. The times of refreshing is the latter rain that comes to mature the grains. It quickens the process of maturity by quickening the grains for harvest. So God got to deal with the soul so that the soul can receive what? The word, so that the word could what? Spring forth and bud. See, when the word of God springs forth and bud in the soul of a man, the Bible says it gives both what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's Isaiah 55. When you cross over into 2 Corinthians 9:6, it talks about he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister, watch this, it reverses, bread for your food. Then it multiplies what? Your seed sown. Are you listening? So what God is telling you, your prosperity begins first on the inside by hearing my word and getting your soul transformed. Once you hear my word and get your soul transformed, then prosperity belongs to you. So you will understand that God only needs to give you one seed. And once you do with that one seed what he told you to do with it, it will produce seed the rest of your life. Oh, Lord, have mercy. seeds are eternal like God. Go ahead, child.
A.
A.
Understanding the times of refreshing.
Understanding the times of refreshing.
Acts 3:19.
Notice it says times of refreshing begins with a word called what? Repent ye therefore. Make a complete turn. A complete turn. Not just repenting from sin, but make a complete turn in your mind regarding God's purpose, plans, and pursuits. Go ahead.
And be converted.
And be converted.
That your sins may be blotted out.
When the times of refreshing shall come
from the Lord.
From the, yeah, I said presence of the Lord. I was going to get you, but go ahead. I'll let you slide. From the presence, without the presence of the Lord, you're listening? There can be no refreshing. You listening? You know, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord is like taking a good fresh shower after you've been out in that hot sun working all day. Are you listening? And even when you come from the office after 8 hours, a good shower will help. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead, child.
One of the major rewards
of a repentant life is that the times of refreshing will come and it will be sent from the presence of God. Number one, times of refreshing is a time of seeing the manifested presence of God breaking forth upon our lives. The consciousness of God's presence becomes a reality to us. And we're conscious that God is not only around us, but God is in fact, where at? In us. We can discern these two types of God's consciousness. We can learn to find appropriate ways to respond and to relate to our God.
The manifested presence of God,
permeates throughout our souls and our bodies with the consciousness of who? God.
Number two,
times of refreshing is a time of seeing the seed that is within us
germinate
and rise to its full potential.
There are God-given gifts
and talents that have been placed inside of each and every one of us that causes us to be unique in God's eyesight. God has sown his seeds of promise
and revelation
into our spirits. All of these things that God has planted into our spirits begin to be quickened
and start to germinate.
It starts to break forth into its full potential and it springs out of its seed coat. We start to see the hidden life
and the anointing
of what God has what? Placed within us.
The seed starts to put deep roots into us.
It starts to lay hold of our hearts
with a greater grip of conviction
and zeal.
We are both challenged and motivated
by its what? Life source.
Everything in the kingdom is based on the seed.
Go ahead.
Our gifts begin to excel.
Our gifts begin to excel.
Our talents become more anointed.
Our talents become more anointed.
And our hope soars with the promise
of greater ministry
and breakthrough.
The grain speeds up unto harvest.
As it gets quickened by the latter rain,
it matures into its fullness.
During the times of refreshing,
those seeds
that have already been planted within us,
they see a maturing
and a quickening
into harvest.
Number three, the times of refreshing is also a time of yielding ourselves to the presence of God. It is during these times of refreshing that God himself teaches us to communicate wisely with his presence as he manifests himself in a more tangible way to us. We also, during these times, learn to understand God's inner workings within our spirits and his ways among us. The Holy Spirit himself woos us into an intimacy of relationship. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the ways of God. The Holy Spirit shows us how and why he moves in a certain way. And he also lets you know you can't put him in a box. You can't run him with scripture. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit has an innumerable number of ways of manifesting God unto us. In every life situation, he's always present there to give us an escape route. Yes, sir. Go ahead. During these times of refreshing, the Holy Spirit himself teaches us how to commune with God. The Holy Spirit trains our spirits to become more responsive and yielded to him. The Holy Spirit trains our spirits to hear accurately God's voice. And the Holy Spirit bear witness within our hearts that we are being raised up as God's own sons and daughters. During the times of refreshing, during the times of refreshing in God's presence, many things are caught, not taught, caught. There are things got to be caught. You can't be taught everything. Are you listening? But you can catch things that others are not catching. Go ahead. We receive in the spirit a whole new realm of spirit education. The realm of the spirit world becomes more real and more meaningful unto us. We recognize that the realm of the spirit is greater than the natural realm. But in understanding, the scriptures say, howbeit that which is first is natural. If you don't understand natural things, it's going to be hard to teach you spiritual things. That's why Jesus taught in parables. He said, if you can understand this in the natural, then understand that it came from the supernatural. And it'll work. Even the natural realm work with seed. Words are seeds. So when you're teaching somebody and you're constantly speaking the wrong words, you get the wrong results. Go ahead, daughter.
The Holy Spirit
causes us to break through into a spirit consciousness that allows access into this dimension of the spirit. Number four, the times of refreshing is a time of yielding to one another in true fellowship. During these times of refreshing, our love for God is deeply enlarged. Our hearts are broken and they are contrite before God. Also, our love for one another takes upon stronger bonds. The man who has been cleansed on the inside and is at peace within himself is ready for meaningful relationships on the human level. Unity cannot be achieved by human endeavors that often try to bring unwholesome men to relate with who? Each other.
Unless the Lord does his work within us.
Unless God fathers us by doing his work within us and loves us to complete wholeness,
we will always struggle in
what? Human relationships. So if I don't understand my relationship to God, I can't get it together with you. Go ahead. Human relationships are only meaningful when we have the third chord in it. God is restoring truth. Meaningful relationships during the times of refreshing. Our love and our affection for one another will increase greatly. Our care and our concern for each other signals a new era of human interpersonal relationships to the world. Didn't Jesus say, when you show love one to another, the world gonna know who I am? Go ahead. B, times of refreshing reveals the tares. Times of refreshing is also a time when weeds and tares germinate and they rise up together unto harvest. The times of refreshing causes the tares to grow up alongside with the wheat. The wheat and tares, they grow up in harvest, watch this, together. Go ahead.
Number one.
Discovering where the tares are.
This is the most difficult part.
This is the most difficult part of the times of refreshing.
We start to discover
that an enemy has sown seed into our fields. Matthew chapter 13. 24 through 30. We're not going to read that. That's for your spiritual enrichment and edification. Go ahead.
The seeds of the enemy
are sown into three aspects of our lives.
A,
sin habits.
B,
subconscious mind. And C, the conscious mind.
A,
sin habits. Though we are born again,
and our
spirits are recreated in the image and the likeness of God,
sin habits
still exist in both our bodies and in our soul. The sin nature has been removed from our innermost being, our born again recreated human spirits. But our soul and our bodies
still
retains its likes and its dislikes within it. The seeds of the enemy, they are still what? There. Say in my soul and in my body. Go ahead. Unless we destroy the wrong lifestyle and start walking in the newness of life, these sin habits will not be broken. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 6, 7, read those. Go ahead. Because it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Go ahead. No, I don't want that read. We got to go with the lesson. Go ahead.
B, subconscious mind.
Our subconscious mind
retains and remembers
every word,
emotion
and concept
that has impacted our lives,
whether good or bad.
It stores them
within our memory banks.
This information of the past
affects our present decisions
and our future destiny.
The enemy can sow wrong thoughts, which are wrong seeds,
into our
minds
through any of these circumstances,
and thereby control
our behavioral patterns
through these strongholds.
A stronghold
is a mindset.
Impregnated with hopelessness.
What that mean? I can't get out of this. Go ahead.
That causes the believer
to accept as unchangeable
something which he knows
is contrary to the will and purpose of God.
Strongholds are fortified places
of Satan
that he uses to exalt himself
against the knowledge of God. Satan builds these strongholds
to influence
our thought patterns,
our behavior,
our character,
and our lifestyle.
These seeds, which are planted in our subconscious mind and lives,
can destroy
our lives
and hinder us
from pursuing God's plans
and purposes
and pursuits for our lives.
See,
the conscious mind.
The enemy wants to
sow seeds
presently
into our lives.
These new seeds
desires
to penetrate our
minds
today.
These present
thoughts
that
enter into our
conscious mind
can
trigger
a
chain of
negative
are
positive
thought patterns
from
our subconscious
mind.
The accumulated
impact
of these thoughts
will
be more than just
the
innocent
incidents
that
have taken place.
That's
why the training
of the mind
is the most
important thing
to an
apostolic believer.
You listening?
Not the spirit.
Not the
body, but the
soul.
Without the
soul being trained,
the body not
going nowhere.
Go ahead.
See
how to
consciously,
on purpose,
deal with the tares.
We need to know
whether the tares are
already inside
our
subconscious mind,
or whether they are trying
whether they are
trying to
enter
into
our conscious
mind.
When
we are dealing with
these present attacks
through
our conscious mind,
we need
to be fully equipped
with
a renewed mind
to
stop any and
all advances
of the enemy.
Now, you cannot
do this without the whole
armor of God, according
to Ephesians 6,
10 through
18.
Now, in
Ephesians 6, 10
through 18,
all of that armor
I submit to you
is for your soul.
Trust me.
Somebody say what they
say. Let me have
my feet shod
with the
preparation of
the gospel of peace.
Well, here
you need to know. You
don't walk by
faith with your feet.
Shandai
hookum asai.
Oh, mama, my knee
hurt. Can I get a new
pair of sunglasses?
E-D-D-I-E,
that's Eddie.
Don't worry about
it. You'll catch up with
that next session.
Go ahead.
This is like
preventing the bee. This
is like preventing
the
bee
from attacking
or stinging
fruit.
The sting of the bee
destroys the outer layer
of the skin.
Of the fruit,
causing eventual decay,
which opens up room
for the worms to develop
in the fruit.
Thus, in dealing with the attacks
of the conscious mind,
we are dealing with the who?
With the bee.
But at other times,
we're dealing with
tares and seeds
that are
within the subconscious
mind
of a person.
It is like
the dealing with the
worms,
which
are already inside
the fruit.
Those
worms are working from
the inside
of the fruit.
And the decay
has already begun.
The decay has been there,
you ready for this?
Since you came into this world. Because your mind was being developed. You listening? Being developed by thoughts. Are you listening? Not based upon the solid foundation of the word of God. Go ahead. Okay, that's it for this evening. We'll see you again on next session.